Morning. Praise the Lord. It's good to see all of you out on this brand new year and brand new start to everything. And you know, as has already been said, Happy New Year. And we certainly welcome all of you this morning. And if you're visiting with us today, we are just overjoyed to have you here. We really are. We're excited and hope that you find something here this morning through the music, through the worship, through the word, through everything here that is presented to you today that will draw you closer to the Lord, that will help you in your spiritual walk, and will give you something that you can take to improve your life. And that is my goal, my desire here this morning as a pastor, to bring you something from the Lord that you can apply to your life and indeed make this a happy new year. That's something that will just radically change and have an experience with God this morning. So we're just looking forward to a great time. The message the Lord has given me today is the celebration is not over. And that is the message for today from me from the book of 1 Peter. You know, around New Year's, of course, people make resolutions and everything. But sometimes I find that resolutions don't always involve change, such as the case of this little child. He said one night a little boy was praying, and his dad was walking by the room, and he heard the little child say, "Lord, if you can't make me a better boy, don't worry about it. I'm having a real good time just like I am." So sometimes change does not always happen. And in another case, sometimes change always doesn't always happen like we want it to. Again, a small boy was sent to bed by his father. And 5 minutes later, he heard coming down the hallway the voice, "Dad, oh, Dad." And he said, "What, son? What can I help you with?" He said, "I'm really thirsty. Could you bring me a drink of water?" He said, "No, son, it's already done. The day is over with. You're in bed. You had your chance. Lights out. Time to go to bed." 5 minutes later, "Dad, what?" He said, "I'm really thirsty. Could you please bring me a drink of water?" He said, "Son, I told you no. Now that's the end of it. The day is over with. If you have to ask again, I'm going to have to come give you a spanking." 5 minutes later, "Dad," he said, "what?" He said, "When you come to spank me, could you bring me a drink of water?" So you know, it just didn't sink in there. But you know, sometimes in life we do need a change, and sometimes things happen to create that thought, such as the case of a guy driving to work one day when a truck ran the stop sign, hit him broadside on his car, and knocked him out cold over in a culvert. Well, passerby saw the terrible wreck, and they came and they picked him up and they revived him. And as he opened his eyes, he began to struggle and scream and really just have a fit. And they didn't know what in the world was going on. And so the medics, they came in and they tranquilized him. Well, later on, they calmed him down and they said, "Man, what in the world happened? What caused you to have such a fit?" And he said, "Well, I remember the impact. And I woke up and I was laying there on a concrete slab in front of this huge sign that said Shell. But somebody was standing in front of the S." So he didn't know what had happened. He didn't know what had happened to him. Well, you know, sometimes as we come to the end of the year and start anew, and we reflect back on those things that were. Three guys were standing together and they began to have reflections. Well, all of a sudden a car crash came and killed all of them. And they wound up in heaven. And they were going there for orientation. And said, they were standing there together, and they said, "Man, when you know you're laying there in your casket and your friends and your family are mourning and think about you, what do you want to hear them say? What would you like to think back and hope that they would say about you?" Well, the first guy said, "I'd like for them to say that I was the greatest doctor of all time, the greatest family man that ever lived." That sounds okay. Well, the second guy said, "Well, I'd want him to say that I was the best husband that ever lived and the best school teacher that made a difference in children all over everywhere." And the third guy sat there and thought about it for a minute. He said, "You know, what I'd really like to hear him say is, hey, look, he's still moving." So you know, sometimes reflections, you just never know. One quick note, I don't know, and we've got a little time. I don't know if we could put it together or not, but just a thought. I want to plant a seed of thought. For those of you that are fans, if you will, or enjoy a wonderful, wonderful night of music, the Gaithers are going to be coming to Phoenix in February, on February the 10th, I believe it is. And maybe if we could get enough 15 or 20 of us together, we'd get a nice group rate, and we could go down and have a good evening of fun. And if you've never been, trust me, it is a night that you will never forget. It is one incredible 4 to 5 hours of nothing but praising the Lord. And it is phenomenal. So that's just a seed of thought. Sometime in the next few weeks, maybe we can decide on that. The celebration is not over. Let us go to the Word of God here and see what He says this morning. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 10, the Word says this: "Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what and what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them and indicating when He testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed not to themselves but to us they were ministering the things which have now been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" Let us pray. Father, we love You. Thank You so much, Lord, that we've had a wonderful time here together this morning, that we could sing, we could laugh. Lord, we could just praise the name of Jesus, Lord. We just welcome all that are here, maybe even those for the first time, Lord, to hear this message today, Father. I just pray that as we begin this brand new year, Lord, that You have so willingly given us, Lord, another opportunity to tarry on, Lord, with the work that You've called us to do. I pray today, Lord, will be a tremendous beginning to that, Lord, as we are blessed with January 1st falling on Sunday morning, that we could gather here together this morning, Lord, and just praise You and give You thanks for not only what You have done, but even more importantly, the things that You are going to do. And I just pray now, Lord, that Your Word, Lord, would fall down like rain in here this morning, Lord. Your Holy Spirit's presence would be felt. And I pray, Lord, to be filled with that this morning, Lord, that it not be me, but it be You. And Lord, that something today would touch someone in a mighty way. And we're just going to thank You for what You do, Lord. May this time now be Yours. We ask it in Christ's holy name. Amen and amen. Now, of course, Christmas Day, we know, has gone. We've celebrated that. We've had a wonderful time. The presents have all been opened. All the special services have been held. Soon the lights and the trees will come down if they haven't already. When we hear it that way, it kind of sounds like everything's over with, don't it? Kind of sounds like, oh, man, well, it's over with. Not until next year or this year now, till December and November, do we get to get all that over. But I got news for you this morning, my friends. The celebration is not over. It's not over. Why? Because the real reason we celebrate is alive and well. What did we just celebrate? We just celebrated the birth of Christ. Okay, we celebrated the birth of Christ. But what was that event? What was His birth? It was the birth of our Savior. Think about what that means. It was the birth of our Savior. In order to need a Savior, somebody needs saving, right? Well, isn't that what the Word tells us? That's what He came for. There is a need for saving. That someone that He is speaking of, or the someone that I am speaking of, I should say, that needs saving is every single person on earth. And all of those of us who have already come to Him, and for those who will, that was the reason Jesus came. And is that reason that we come to celebrate, is that over? Absolutely not. We have every reason to keep going. The message of Christmas, indeed, focuses on the manger and Mary and Joseph and the wise men and the shepherds and all that stuff. But what did Jesus actually come for? Why did He come? To save mankind. To save mankind. Does celebration over that need to stop? No, not at all. It never needs to stop. It needs to be every day. Now, certainly, we don't adhere to the certain things of the celebration time of the year. We don't keep up a tree all the time, and we don't have lights on our house all the time, except down south. They never take them down, but that's a whole nother story. But you know, and we don't exchange gifts every day. We don't do those kind of things. That's what we're talking about. But there is never, and I mean never, a day that goes by that somebody don't need to be saved. That needs to keep going every day, all the time. And it also is never a day that goes by for every one of us who already have done that to be grateful for the gift that we have been given. And why is this important? Romans 3, verse 10 and 23, both tells us real clear the message here. In verse 10 it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So God is proclaiming that by yourself you can't do it. And why is this true? Well, it tells in verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No one person can argue that. Now they may say, well, I'm perfect. I never do anything wrong. Well, the Bible says if you say that, you're a liar. So you can't get away from it. It's there. It's the way it is. The world needed a Savior. The world needed a Savior, and praise God we got one. He came, and we can still celebrate that today. Luke 19 and 10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That was His purpose. That was His absolute number one thing, to come and bring that. The celebration is not over. The celebration is not over because Jesus is still saving souls today. And we should be excited about that. We should be exuberant about that. We should want to shout to the sky everything that we can. As we've come to the end of 1 year, midnight to last night, I guess, or what have you, we've come to the end of 1 year, we celebrate the coming of a new one. And we celebrate that by looking forward to what it is the Lord has offered to us. We can look forward to celebrating the fact that Jesus has put away the past. Isn't that great? Isn't that great that Jesus has put away the past? This, my friends, is a great reason to celebrate. Why? Because there are so many people today who cannot move forward because they're holding on to what was. They're holding on to what was. I seen a guy preach a sermon one time with a park bench anchored to his leg. That's the truth. I seen him do it. He anchored this big chain to his leg, a big giant metal park bench over here. Well, he's trying to preach and he's doing this. He said, I can't get nowhere, can I? And his point was, you got to let go. Jesus said, don't look back. You know, he talked about the plow, the guy holding the plow and not looking back. But if you think about plowing a row, if you've ever plowed with a tractor or with a mule or whatever, if you're not looking forward, you're looking back here to see how good you're doing, that row might be kind of a mess, right? Well, life is the same way. Here's a tremendous reason that we can celebrate a new year, if you will, today, knowing that what's behind us is behind us. We need to focus on what's ahead. God has called us here in this body to a mighty mission, a mighty vision, if you will, and we need to be looking forward to that. We can praise God for what He's done, and we can be excited for what He's done, but let's look this way. You know, as you've heard me say many times, the windshield is bigger than the rearview mirror for a reason. Always remember that. I had someone teach me that years ago. Soon as we'll watch over the next week or two, we'll begin to see all the different countdowns. We'll see all the news reports of the past year and all the biggest events and all the, you know, they've already talked about all the greatest celebrity mishaps and all the foolishness that happened in the top 10 list and who did this and who did that. I thought about this, though. What if we made that personal? What if we made that personal and reflected upon our life for just a minute? Would there be some things that we'd like left off that list? Would there be some things that we don't want to remember? Would there be some things we wouldn't want to be reminded of? So often, it's very hard, my friends, to get people to forget. It's even harder to get people to forgive. Let's just be honest. It is. Forgetting is one thing. Forgiveness is a whole other ballgame. It's a whole different thing. But isn't it great to know that God does both? Isn't it great to know that when we come to Christ, the sins of the past are all gone in God's eyes, cast as far as the east is from the west, to never be remembered anymore, in the sea of forgetfulness? Isn't it great that all the failures of the past are 100% forgiven? Isn't that great reason to celebrate? Isn't that great reason to look forward to the days ahead? We celebrate beyond Christmas because our Savior was born. I key the word there, Savior was born. I came to save you and change your life. Now you got something to look forward to and to celebrate. The one who came to save the world, to give every person, whoever lived, the chance to get it right, the chance to start over. Are we still supposed to be celebrating that today? Oh yeah, because Jesus is still on the throne. You see, He's not gone anywhere. He's still around. We should get excited. See, we need to understand about salvation. Not only does it bring forgiveness, it brings renewal. Don't we like to renew stuff? You know, don't we, except for like contracts and stuff. Those are bad. You know, we don't like those. But good things, you know, renewal. He gives us a chance to start over. How many times in our life have we needed to do just that? Because you see, God gives you a chance more than once. You know why I know that? Because I'm standing here. That's right. That's right. Oh boy, if it was only one chance, I'd have been gone a long time ago. The celebration, my friends, the celebration is not over because there's still time to start over. If you're thinking today, man, it's a brand new day, I want to make all these resolutions and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and all this other stuff, you know, and then May comes around and you haven't really got to those yet, you know, and that could happen to any of us, you know, most especially with personal goals. You know, I'm gonna get in the greatest shape of my life this year. You know, in June, and you're still at Krispy Kreme. It's just not working, you know. I mean, you know, something's happening. But here he's saying, you've got a chance. I'm still around. You can start over. It can happen right now. So if you're holding on to something, or you're saying, you know, man, my life was rotten in 2011. Everything went wrong. Everything got turned upside down. Give it all to Jesus today. Give it all to Him today. We can have, like that song says, victory in Jesus, and you can have it today. The Scripture tells us all throughout the Scripture about God's forgiveness, but it gives us assurance of such. It's not, we don't have to have a doubt as to whether if we come to know the Lord as to where we're going to be. Psalm 103 and 3 says, who forgives all your iniquities and who heals all your diseases, all encompassing everything. God doesn't do anything halfway, partway, or He does it all the way. Isaiah 1 and 16 says, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Lord speaking to us. And 1 John, of course, 1 and 9, absolutely one of my favorites. If we confess, if being the biggest word in this Scripture, if you do it, this is what God will do for you. He is faithful and He is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why would you want to turn that down? Why wouldn't you want that? That is a gift from God, and that is still reason today to celebrate. Peter writes here, in our text of the day, in verse 10, he says, of the salvation of the prophets, they have inquired and searched carefully. Now you see, they were confused here. They didn't know what was going on. They didn't understand this. They were marveled, if you will, at salvation by grace. What does that mean? I don't understand that. What are you talking about? They fully didn't understand how this worked. They didn't grasp the concept. How could we be loved that much? How could God love us that much? Because you see, we have to understand, love, as it pertains to people, as it pertains to here on earth, in our earthly definitions and descriptions or what have you, love is often defined by the moment. It is often defined by the moment. I love you today, but if you make me mad tomorrow, that might not hold true. I'm sorry, honey. I know we've been married 30 years, but I've fallen out of love with you. It's not the same anymore. Not God. God's love is eternal. God's love has no end. It cannot be measured. You see, that is how grace works. It doesn't change. He is the same always. We need to understand the prophets here were puzzled. We're puzzled because of the way people treat one another. Do we still have that puzzlement today? Because we don't see things through the eyes of God. If we did, things would change. If we would act like God says to act. I'm working on a new writing now called And Jesus Said. And He tells us what to do. He makes it clear what to do. And He said, love God and love one another. Now, what does that word mean? It means do it His way. It means do it His way. We don't see that happen a whole lot. But God's love is eternal. The prophets here were looking. They were thinking, how could those who break God's rules, who break God's laws, or those who are sinful, those who are terrible, how could they actually be forgiven? And more importantly, how could they be restored back to God? How can that be? I don't get that. God promised the world, everybody that ever lived, He promised at the fall of man that a Savior would come. He promised that a Savior would come. When Jesus was born, that promise was fulfilled. When Jesus was born, that promise was fulfilled. So therefore, my friends, the celebration is not over. It is not over because His salvation is still available to anybody that wants it. It's not like when you go to the store and they had a great sale on whatever and you get there 5 minutes late and the shelf is empty. That rascal in front of you in the cashier's got the last one. You know? That's not how it works. He's still got plenty. Peter here writes in verse 12, he said, things which the angels desire to look into. They were astonished as they were sitting back and watching what God was doing as it unfolded before everybody. You see, they were the messengers of God. They worked for Him, if you will. They saw what He was doing. They saw all the plans that He was making as they began to unfold. And they saw what He was about to do. They saw it. We can only imagine seeing that and how excited that could have made anybody. But then we can think of that going 100-fold increase when they found that they were going to get to come tell. They were going to get to come tell everybody that the Savior was on the way. And then when they proclaimed to the shepherds, He's here. He is here. He has come. To think, and for us today to still stop and to think that God loves us that much. That God loves this wicked, cruel, hateful, twisted, perverted world. And we do. We see a lot of awful things going on, my friends. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just being honest. I'm being real with you. We see things that are just confusing. We're seeing things that just are not right. We're seeing things that are very disturbing. But God loved this world, and He still does. And there is nobody, nowhere. There's one hymn, and I can't remember exactly what it is, but I know there's a line in it. It says, the vilest, vilest of sinners can get saved. They can get changed. Anybody can come. He loves us so much that even though sinners had no way, He made a way. He made a way that we could be part of His family. How incredible is that? That God Himself said, you know, they need another chance. How many times in life have we felt that way? If I just had one more chance, just one more chance. You know, it's like the ball player that struck out. When that inning comes back around and the rotation moves, he gets one more chance, maybe, to redeem himself. He wants to do better. Isn't that what life is? We want to do better. If we truly have that desire, we truly want to do better. We want to improve our situation. We want to make our life better. We want to have greater desires, better goals, better outlook, better everything. God says, okay, I'll give you that chance, but you have to do it. Just like that scripture says in 1 John, if. That's the biggest thing. I preached on that when I first came here. If. It's the biggest word in the Bible. Because all of this works if you'll do it. All of this works if you do it. Paul writes in the book of Galatians, and this is one of my favorite scriptures here, the way that it's laid out. It's just absolutely incredible. Chapter 4 and beginning in verse 4. And Paul writes, but when the fullness of the time had come, in other words, God's perfect timing, exactly at the moment it was supposed to, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. We'd become part of the family. You know, I'll never forget when we were standing in that courtroom and they signed those papers for our little girls, those adoption papers. I remember that feeling. I remember how awesome that was, that that became real. God did that for every one of us that accepts Him, for everyone that accepts Him, to redeem those who are under the law that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. You know what that word means? Daddy. Daddy. Personal. Really, really intimate. In verse 7, therefore, you are no longer a slave. You are not bound anymore. No one who comes to know the Lord is bound anymore, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. You know what an heir of a king is? A prince or a princess. One who is going to receive. No question about it. That is what God is saying to us here. The angels were just blown away. Blown away at this level of love. That God could love wicked man that was down here doing all the things that even back as far as Genesis say that God said he was burdened, his heart was heavy because he'd even made people because of the way they were acting. The prophets were perplexed. They were blown away. And even today, a lot of people still struggle. A lot of people still think, whether it be outwardly or inwardly or whatever the case, how could God love me? How could God love me? Man, I know me. I know what I've done. I've seen me do it. You know, I've been there. You know, all these different things. I've done this. I've messed up. I've failed. I've not lived a good life. But you know what? If you come to Christ, none of that matters. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that incredible? When you can think about, he comes in, I think of it like with a big giant eraser and just whoo, wipes it off. And so I said, okay, let's start over. At 12:01 this morning, we started 2012. Now, 12 years ago, the experts told us that wasn't going to happen, right? The world was going to blow up. You know, all the computers are going to crash and everything was going to go to hell. I mean, pretty much. Everything was just going to be terrible. You know, and that's what they told us. That didn't happen. Because God says no one will know the hour nor the day. He's in control of that. He's got that. When we look back and we condemn ourselves, which is easy to do, and we think about I'm not worthy, none of us are. But that's how awesome God's grace is. Then He says, that doesn't matter. I've got you right here. And I'll hold on to you forever if you just come. The celebration is not over because the Savior is still in charge. He's still on the throne today, and He will never leave us. He promised. He says in Hebrews chapter 13, He says, for He Himself has said, I will never leave nor forsake you. Never leave nor forsake you. And then it goes on to say, so we may boldly say. Now look at this. So we may, and then when I can say something boldly, that means I can say it with authority, with absolute assurance, with absolute guarantee. He says, we can boldly say, we don't have to have any doubts, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? How awesome is that scripture? If we truly, also, we'd find different passages that says we can boldly come to the throne. We can boldly do this, boldly that. Paul says we must be bold in our faith. If we will embrace what God has said, if we will accept His guarantee, His promise, and understand this, He says, I will never leave you. Never. When God says never, that's exactly what it means. Eternity, forever. I'll be right by your side. All you need to do is trust me. Believe in what I'm telling you. And I'll show you which way to go. I'll show you how to get there. I'll take you through the fire. I'll take you through the storm. Whatever may come your way, I will never leave you. And you can boldly say, when you're facing those things, when you're looking at this new year wondering, last year was rotten. Whew, man, I don't know, maybe this year. He's saying, I am your helper. And I can say, I will not fear. I will not fear. What can anybody do to me? If God is on my side, who can be against me? Now, that may sound arrogant. That may sound prideful. But look who's in my corner. I can do that. You know? I mean, I remember I used to have this guy named the Barbarian. He was 385 pounds of like a brick wall. He was my tag team partner. I didn't have to worry about nothing, man. When he was in my corner, I knew if I got in trouble, I could tag in Barbie and he'd come take care of business. When we look back and we realize Jesus is in our corner, he says, that's my helper. Look who's in my corner. Look who's got my back. We don't have to worry about things anymore. We can put back those things and we can look forward. We can be positive. We can have a better outlook on everything. This new year has begun. But what we need to understand is for every single one of us today who has Christ, we don't have to do it by ourselves. We never have to do it alone. He is with us right now. Right now. So indeed, the celebration, it's not over. It's not done by any means. And even greater, there's more to come. He's only given us just a little bit. There is more to come. Paul writes in Romans 8 and 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. In other words, you know what? Yeah, I've done a lot. I've been through a lot, this and that, whatever. But you know what? None of that don't matter because I know what's coming. I know what's coming, and it's going to be so great. It's going to be so incredible that none of that doesn't even matter. You know, things aren't always easy, and I'm not proclaiming that it's going to be. Even if you come to know the Lord today, the roads are going to be a little rough sometimes. The pathways are not always going to be clear, but Jesus is walking right by your side. Whether it's through the thorns and the thistles or whether it's on that smooth road somewhere, He is going to be there and promising never to leave. And what He brings with Him is a tremendous promise. And what we have to understand is back from the fall of man, God promised. He told the devil, the seed will come. Speaking of Jesus, He promised all the way back then that it was going to happen. And all those looked for that Messiah, looked for that Savior over all this time. Well, He came. And He gave us a great promise. He fulfilled everything that He said He would do. He's continuing to promise today for the days ahead. And He said, I will be with you. Just follow me. The celebration, it's not over. It's not over. There's still hope. There's still joy to be had. There's still hope for all who know Christ and for all those who will come to know Him. I believe, and the Lord has impressed this upon my heart, that in the next year, or whatever the case, whatever the Lord so tarries, and there's only so much time, and that's not to be gloom and doom, that's just true. There's only so much. But I believe there's one big harvest left. I believe the Lord is going to reach down and touch and give anointed messages and allow openings, just like what we're planning on doing here in our community and all the to bring more people to the Lord in this next little while than maybe has been in a long, long time. There's one last big harvest. And He's saying, I'm promising you, I will show you how to do that. There is still hope. He is saying to us today, don't give up. Don't give up. Because if we understand and we go forward in our individual lives and collectively as a body, if we go forward with His promise and we go forward with Him, then we can understand our past is forgiven. Don't take it with you. If you really want to have a happy new year, then make it new. Don't hold on to old. You know, memories are good. Memories are fun and memories are all that other good stuff. How many times do we have bad memories? How many times do we have memories of things that we try to make better, but we know deep down inside they weren't? Don't lie to ourselves. Leave it. Remember, God has said, leave that. I've forgiven you of that. Don't bring that back up. They said, they told a story one time of a young man in seminary. He was tossing and turning all night long, crying, weeping, saying, I'm not worthy of being here. I'm not worthy of standing behind a pulpit and preaching. And he fell into a deep sleep and went into a vision as he was standing before the Lord. And he was begging and pleading and said, Lord, I can't do this because I've done this and I've done that and all this. And the Lord says, I don't know what you're talking about. That's a neat way to think about it. That's a neat way to think about it. Put it away. Put it away and look forward to what God's got in store. Look forward to what has in store for every one of us. Jesus came to save the world, and it wasn't a one-time deal. You see, that offer is still on the table today for anybody who wants it. Our text today boldly proclaims in verse 13, therefore, in other words, you can go forward with assurance. You don't have to doubt this at all, what's about to be said. He says, gird up the loins of your mind. Strengthen yourself. Believe this. Be sober. In other words, be alert. Be aware of what's going on. He says, rest your hope fully, completely, entirely upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What is he saying to us? It's just as simple. The King is coming. He's on the way. He's on the way. The question we have to ask ourselves is, am I ready? Am I ready for that appearance? Have I accepted him today? Have I accepted what he has offered? Have I done that? Have I accepted his gift of salvation? Because if the answer is no, or maybe, or I think so, or I hope so, there's a problem. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm reading a book right now my wife gave me for Christmas, and it's called Heaven is for Real. And it's written through the words of a little 4-year-old boy who had an experience. I don't know if any of you have seen it or heard about it, but I'm telling you, it's powerful. Read it. And I just finished reading a little bit of it this morning, and his dad is a pastor, and this little boy has such a passion for the Lord after his experience that he's sitting in the church as his dad is doing a funeral for just someone in the community. No one knew who it was. And the little boy disrupted the funeral, asking, did that man know Jesus? Did that man know Jesus? Because he can't get into heaven if he don't. Think about that. A little guy. He got it. We can't get there without Jesus. He said very clearly in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one shall come to the Father except by me. There's only one way, my friends. Only one way. There's many things around the world right now trying to tell us all things are the same or you can all roads, but that's a lie. That's a lie. That'd be like telling you that every road will lead to Phoenix. That's not true. That's not true. You know? You get on 40 and go, you know, west, you won't get there, you know, or east, or wherever the heck it is. I don't know my directions this morning, but the fact of the matter is you go the wrong way, you won't get there. You know, that's the bottom line. If you don't know it today, you don't have to wait. You can have it. You can start the new year off right, and then you'll see the celebration. It's not over. And even better, there's more to come. There's more to come. So I encourage you, celebrate today, tomorrow, and forever, because the Savior was born. And we need to get excited about that. He came that all could be saved, and he gave his life. He was laid in the tomb, and 3 days later, he arose. 40 days later, he went back to heaven and ascended to heaven to get things ready. And praise God, one day soon, he's coming back. He's coming back for everybody that is his. So do not, I encourage you and implore you, do not let your celebration end just because December is over. Don't let it stop now. Hebrews 13 and 8 says it very clearly, Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. The celebration, it's not over. In fact, we've only just begun. I want to share this word with you through song as we prepare to close. I want you to think about this, and as you as you hear this chorus, I want you to sing it with me because I know you know this song. And think about, we're facing new days. You can crank it up, brother. As today starts, new years, we got potentially, if the Lord don't come back before, 364 more. Let's think about what the Lord's saying here.